the limelight. The double standards of the US and the so-called world agencies on the crisis in Syria is not only deplorable but diabolical in view of the distortion of facts, efforts to protect terrorists, and efforts to criminalize Syria. Vanessa Bealey, an independent investigative journalist and associated editor at 21st Century Wire, has compiled a factual report in this regard for Russian television, titled Amnesty International Silent on Al-Qaeda War Crimes in Syria. Stay with us for more of Vanessa Bealey's article. Amnesty International's biased and misleading report ignores the suffering of communities under attack from the CIA-created terrorist outfit Al-Qaeda and its affiliates in Syria's Idlib province. Tensions are being ratcheted up in the northwestern provinces of Idlib and northern Hama, whilst the Zionist-controlled Western media prepares itself for the revival of the notorious Last Doctor Memmi. Back in September of 2018, Russian and Turkish negotiators had agreed to establish a demilitarized zone in Idlib province, which should have been completed by 15th of October 2018. The reality is that the withdrawal of heavy weaponry has only been partially successful, and the remaining armed groups dominated by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, effectively a rebrand of Al-Qaeda or Al-Nusra Front, have consistently violated the ceasefire arrangement and targeted cities, towns and villages on the borders of the so-called safe zone in Idlib province. Was UK paying white helmets to produce Syria chemical weapons public relations propaganda as cover for the Saudi-supported terrorist outfit Jaish al-Islam? Think tanks and globalist organizations that serve to bolster NATO's aggressive interventionist policy in Syria are advocating an increase of Turkey's military footprint in Idlib province, ostensibly to curtail the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham expansionism, but clearly and perhaps foolishly relying upon Turkey's NATO membership to offer them a compliant occupier in the northwest, whilst the US coalition increases its own military presence in the vast band of Syrian territory east of the Euphrates River. Despite President Donald Trump's hollow withdrawal of US troops rhetoric in December of 2018. In amongst all of this geopolitical jockeying for position and supremacy, civilians in the region are suffering, and few more so than those who live in the towns that border Idlib and areas of northern Hama province still under control of the armed groups and their Hayat Tahrir al-Sham overlords. These are the Syrian people entirely ignored by NATO-aligned media and human rights groups that have sustained narratives that traditionally only criminalize one side in a complex and externally imposed 8-year war. The most recent example of this extreme bias in favor of the United States supremacist alliance is the Amnesty International report dated 28th of March 2019 entitled Syria, Government Forces Have Bombed Medical Facilities, School and Bakery in Idlib. The title has unequivocally laid out the report's intent to criminalize the Syrian government. The report opens with Lynn Malouf, Middle Eastern Research Director at Amnesty International, claiming the report covers 6 recent attacks in Idlib that Amnesty claims to be verified. The report provides no context during this verification process. No names of witnesses are provided, we are expected to accept the testimony of anonymous sources whose affiliations are not questioned. We're expected to rely upon the evidence provided by verified open source information, social media photographs and videos, which have been corroborated remotely by Amnesty's recently established Digital Verification Corps, or DVC, in Toronto, California, United Kingdom, and South Africa. Despite this alleged verification process, none of these videos or photographs are shown in the Amnesty report. Amnesty claims to have interviewed witnesses themselves, but does not provide identity of the alleged Amnesty staff on the ground, in an area infested by Al-Qaeda affiliates who are known to kidnap and endanger the lives of anyone that might question their motives. Were these witnesses interviewed via Skype by the DVC, or were anonymous proxies instructed to conduct interviews in an area controlled by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorists? The report does not clarify. What is familiar about the report are the claims of Syrian government aggression against civilian targets in an area occupied by hostile armed groups financed and armed by hostile NATO member states and their allies, whose intent is to topple the Syrian government and impose a tyrannical sectarian regime in its place. We have heard identical sensationalist rhetoric during the Syrian Arab Army campaigns to cleanse eastern Aleppo and eastern Ghouta of the same extremist occupiers that were then transported to Idlib province as part of the Syrian-Russian amnesty and reconciliation deals. This report criminally erases the atrocities committed by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorists and subordinate groups against the towns and villages clustered inside Syrian government security territory on the borders with the last terrorist stronghold in Syria. The report misleads an unsuspecting public to believe the Syrian government is conducting unprovoked attacks against the civilian population. This is an outright lie. So let's add some vital context to this biased and misrepresentative report. Amnesty International mentions attacks by the Syrian government on 9th and 11th of March in Saraghab and Talman, southern Idlib province. There are claims that hospitals and blood banks were the main targets, whilst in February, bakeries and a makeshift clinic had been hit. Acclaimed journalist Sharmeen Narwani had previously conducted an investigation into the systematic destruction of bakeries, flour mills, and deliberate decimation of wheat production by Western-backed armed groups in Syria to increase pressure on the Syrian government and to collectively punish the Syrian people that have resisted the Western-sponsored extremist bid to take over their country. According to Sharmeen Narwani, the West terrorists drove wheat production from 2.5 million tons per year to just 100,000 tons per year. In a Syria flour mill, NATO GCC rebels systematically targeted food sources. It is worth noting that several of the Amnesty testimonials come from members of the NATO member state financed and promoted white helmets embedded with Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorists in the region. It is also worth noting that a British government draft document published in April of 2017 demonstrates that the white helmets are the most routinely reliable sources for both Amnesty International and for Human Rights Watch. So a biased source provides reliable and unverified corroboration of biased reports that serve the imperialist agenda. What is not mentioned in the report is the reality that armed groups have systematically occupied hospitals, schools, and medical centers across all areas they have previously controlled in Syria, converting many of them into prisons, into military centers and ammunition stores and factories. What is also not mentioned are the daily attacks from these Hayat Tahrir al-Sham enclaves against the Syrian Christian communities and towns of the Al-Sughaylabiyya and Marda and surrounding villages. In the weeks leading up to 9th of March, these attacks intensified. I visited the area on 9th of March and was shown the destruction of civilian homes in Al-Sughaylabiyya, a Christian Syrian town, by one attack on 7th of March. The Amnesty International report highlights the alleged displacement of civilians as a result of Syrian government attacks, but does not mention the homelessness brought about by such attacks by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorists against the civilian populations of these two Christian towns. Nabil al-Abdullah, the commander of the Al-Sughaylabiyya Volunteer National Defense Force, told me that the extremists were using a new, more powerful C4 explosive in their Grad rockets as the damage was extensive to entire neighborhoods in the town. The town's monastery had also been targeted in these attacks, a monastery which doubles as a community center and a school for children of the town. Since the escalation of the attacks by armed groups, the children of Al-Sughaylabiyya have not been able to attend school because of the risk of death or injury is simply too great. These children are disappeared by Amnesty International. Their schools simply don't count. After 9th of March, the merciless attacks against civilians and infrastructure in another Christian town of Marda and Al-Sughaylabiyya continued unabated. On 16th of March, terrorists targeted another residential area in Al-Sughaylabiyya. Salma Boutras Khalil was seriously injured by shrapnel. Her home was destroyed. Her daughter-in-law, Ayat al-Mahmoud, a Palestinian originally from Damascus, was killed. Ayat was pregnant. Her baby was due in 1 week. Salma Boutras Khalil's grandson was also terribly injured by shrapnel and was rushed to Hama National Hospital. Two other children were grievously wounded in this attack. These attacks do not target military centers. They target only residential areas and Syrian civilians. They are in many instances war crimes, but according to Amnesty International, these attacks have never happened. On 26th of March this year, if the Amnesty International report is to be believed, Syrian government forces fired rockets at a school in Sheikh Idris. Again, the context is non-existent. On 23rd of March, a suspected chemical weapons attack was carried out by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham terrorists against villages around 10 kilometers to the northwest of Al-Sughaylabiyya, Al-Rasif, Al-Aziziyya, Al-Khandaq and Al-Jayid. The attack came in from the north, in fact close to Sheikh Idris itself. I was in Al-Sughaylabiyya when this attack took place and I was able to visit the local hospital that received the 34 victims, which included 3 children, 1 severely affected with respiratory problems. Victims complained of breathing difficulties, skin blisters, eye sensitivity, even nausea and shock syndrome after the attack. One victim, Nofal Tobar, described the 1-meter-high dense white smoke that enveloped the area after the mortars had exploded, saying, without the Syrian government's retaliatory measures, these extremist attacks would only increase. The attacks are motivated primarily by sectarian hatred against the Syrian Christian community or Alawite community, or simply against those who remain loyal to the government. One of the recorded messages from the terrorist groups during this period demanded that al-Sughaylabiyya release its Nusayri inhabitants to the terrorists for execution to avoid their city being burnt down. Nusayri is the commonly used terrorist term for the Alawites in Syria. In the Amnesty International report, Ma'louf makes the statement, deliberate attacks on civilians and on civilian objects, including hospitals and other medical facilities, and indiscriminate attacks that kill or injure civilians are war crimes. Ma'louf fails entirely to identify or qualify the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham-led attacks against civilians as war crimes, which is an egregious negation of the suffering of entire communities in the region. The Amnesty International report goes on to further shoot itself in the foot. I asked former UK Ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford, for a review of the report. Peter Ford described the report as pseudo-findings on Syria by a corps that has obviously taken up its place in the battle order of Western propagandists seeking to justify endless war on Syria. Peter Ford points out that the Amnesty International report implicitly acknowledges that the areas targeted by the Syrian government are awash with Al-Qaeda or Hayat Tahrir al-Sham militants, whilst their students, so-called experts, cite the testimony of residents that no Hayat Tahrir al-Sham were present, indeed couldn't have been present because the areas were part of the demilitarized zone. Peter Ford punches a hole in this claim, saying, Amnesty, you have just shot yourself in the foot. Any truly independent observer would have been aware that the multiple open sources, including the US mainstream media, that the demilitarized zone has not in fact been rid of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham fighters and their weapons. Far from it. Unacknowledged by Amnesty, the Takfiri terrorists have been shelling civilians in villages on the government side. Any credibility which might have been attached to these reports goes straight out of the window with these crucial, highly revealing errors and omissions. To further reinforce the former UK ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford's point, the Amnesty report, which contradicts itself, ends with the foot-shooting statement. Saraghab is under the control of the Brigade of the Revolutionary Front of Saraghab and Countryside, which comes under overall Hayat Tahrir al-Sham control. A video published on 26th of February 2019 showed that these Amnesty whitewashed rebels targeting Abu Dhuhr, by their own admission, presumably targeting civilian refugees who have fled this brutal terrorist occupation via the Syrian-Russian established and protected humanitarian corridor to the perceived safety of Abu Dhuhr. Another inconvenient fact omitted by the Amnesty International report. Needless to say, colonial media in the West republished the Amnesty International report without correction and without investigation. The Guardian, the Middle East Eye, and Jaysh al-Islam affiliate Scott Lucas of EA Worldview, among the first to trumpet the distorted Amnesty headlines and content within the state-aligned Western media sphere. This is nothing less than protectionism for Al-Qaeda. This Amnesty International report, verified by a student corps in remote locations who identify war crimes that have to increase the real terrorist war crimes against real civilians in Syria, is a travesty. As Peter Ford, the former UK ambassador to Syria, said, "Sorry, Amnesty, you're going to have to up your game. How about demilitarizing yourself for a start?"